It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Mark Brown. Mark's with Plains Cotton Growers. We'll talk cotton in just a few moments. First off, before we jump into cotton, let's talk about how producers who reduce fertilizer could actually affect final crop numbers. Donna Hughes is with StoneX.
And it's a major point, you know, this year with prices and also the availability of those products. We've heard of producers, you know, either cutting back or, not using the additives that they would have otherwise. And so, you know, definitely there's going to be some adjustments made. And, you know, with that, crop development surely would be affected.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Mark Brown. Mark is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. And in a moment, Mark, we'll make sure we get a email address or a website address for anybody who wants to keep up with what's going on with Plains Cotton Growers. But I imagine this time of the year, you're probably out visiting gins and looking at some cotton. Is that a pretty accurate statement right now?
Well, no doubt that is right. And we're visiting with a lot of producers and gin managers as well. And we're seeing a whole lot of field activity out there right now. We're kind of moving along at a fevered pitch out in the fields. Tony, we've finally, thank goodness, in many places gotten some much needed rainfall. You know, across our entire service area, it's been extremely dry. We've been in as much as exceptional drought in certain counties of the 42-county service area. But over the last week, the last full week of May, we did receive some much-needed rainfall in many areas. It's certainly going to be helpful, especially where we've got some irrigation capabilities, and that's going to help with catch-up on that irrigation. Now, the question is going to be, since we are so dry, so deep, the question would be in most cases, is there going to be enough moisture to not only germinate a crop, but to keep a crop going? And that's something that only time will tell. So we did get rainfall during that last full week of May. I heard reports anywhere from around a half an inch up to more than 3 inches in some places. And as usual, during this that came with some storm damage. We had several places where people received some large hail, high winds that caused damage, and even in some instances, we saw some tornadic activity. I know one particular place in Terry County where they experienced a tornado that was out in the middle of nowhere, except that it did cross and pull a portion of a roof off of a home. So there was some damage out across the area. We are at May 31st deadline, so people in those northern counties are lining up today with that being the cotton crop insurance deadline for planting. And then from Hale County down through Lubbock County and that tier of counties through that direction, we're looking at a June 5th deadline. And then, of course, June 10th from Linn County on south. We do have a few counties just off the edge of the Cap Rock, and many of those counties have an extended deadline out to June 20th just because of their geographic location. So lots of field activity right now. We've seen a lot of sand fighting and seen a lot of planters running here lately trying to meet those deadlines.
Well, I think you've given us a pretty good assessment of where we are. For many, as we headed into the planting season, really dealing, like you said, with D4, D3 drought. That's something that really kind of takes us back to where we were last year going into the year. And then we get all that moisture kind of the end of May there, mid to end part of May, and really put producers against the wall trying to get that crop in the ground, which I think highlights the importance of programs like the WIP and the WIP Plus. You and I have talked about that in the past. We don't have WIP Plus anymore, but we do have another program. What can you tell us about that, and how does it compare to what WIP Plus was?
Yes, well, you know, we've been talking about this since the fall of last year when there were about $6 billion allocated for row crop producers for what they were calling at the time an extended WIP program. But that had to work its way through the process from the allocation all the way to the implementation. And so we have finally seen the results of that. First of all, this extended emergency relief program had a component for livestock. And so that component went out first. Once that was done, they moved over into the row crops. And that's where we're at today. It is a program that, from what we have seen thus far and heard about, it's very similar in fashion and in structure to the last WIP program. However, the name, as you mentioned, did change. And so producers will be getting information, if they haven't already, about the emergency relief program. And actually, we know that the mailouts for this program for pre-filled applications went out on May the 25th. So today, I expect that many producers will see this ERP information in their mailboxes. And they'll need to take a look at all of this and check it out. And then they'll need to return that to their Farm Service Agency offices. And that has to be returned no later than July the 22nd. Of course, I'm sure that I know it's a busy time. I know everybody's in the field now. But I would just certainly encourage people as soon as they can to sit down and look through this information and not to wait until that deadline. Of course, if people have money coming to them, then I'm sure that they'll be anxious also to get this get this returned so that they can get this relief process started quickly. And so, again, July the 22nd is the deadline on that. From what we understand, this program, as I've already said, is very similar to WIP, but there are a few minor changes, and from what we've seen so far, all of the changes are to the good. In other words, tweaks and adjustments that will make the program more friendly toward producers. And one of those is the fact that where the last WIP application took several hours to be filled out by producers and coming up with the data, and then several more hours to be verified at the Farm Service Agency offices. Well, this one is utilizing RMA data. So it's going to pull that RMA data down, put it all together in a pre-filled application, and then that will be sent directly to those producers. And producers need to just get that, check out those numbers and see how that compares to their numbers in terms of production for the years of 2020 and 21. And once they get that verified, then they'll need to send that back to the FSA. Also, if there are any questions, since this is using RMA data, then the producers will need to contact their insurance representatives so that they can get information directly through RMA. And so that's how we know that it's going to work. And we do expect, as people open those up and are looking into that this week, that we'll receive a lot of questions on it. And we look forward to being there to support and to help out producers here on the High Plains with answering any questions that they might have at the Plains Cotton Growers offices in Lubbock.
Speaking of answering questions, we started the conversation with the fact that you've had the opportunity to be out and visiting with gin managers and producers. And that was actually a role that before you got to Plains Cotton Growers, a guy named Johnny Anderson took care of.
Yes, sir.
And some may not know who Johnny was, but for those who do, was a giant in the cotton industry.
Absolutely.
What can you update us with on that?
Well, here on the High Plains, Johnny was a giant in the West Texas cotton industry, and he had many, many friends in the cotton world. And last week, Johnny passed away. Many would know that just prior to his retirement, Johnny had an accident out on the road and forced Johnny to be in a wheelchair for the remainder of his life and throughout his retirement years. And he spent, I'm going to just say, approximately 5 years in retirement. And so unfortunately, Johnny was in a wheelchair there in those last years of his life. But nevertheless, he didn't let that slow him down. And he got to spend a lot of good quality time with his family and especially with those grandchildren. And they did still get to make a few trips. And so I'm grateful for that. And we did learn that on May the 26th, Johnny did pass away. He passed away peacefully. I understand that he passed away in his sleep. And his funeral services were held just this morning down at New Home, and we had the chance to celebrate his life, and it certainly was a celebration, and it was a good time for people to remember all of the good tributes that he had, and also all that he did for the West Texas cotton industry. He actually worked for Plains Cotton Growers for 31 years, and they estimated in his travels that he logged well over 1 million miles traveling to GM locations and traveling across the back roads of West Texas to service the cotton industry and Plains cotton growers. And as I said, he was well-known and well-loved by the cotton industry. And even just a couple of weeks ago, I remember his name coming up in conversation. Somebody asked me, how's Johnny doing and what's he up to these days? And so, he will be sadly missed. And we appreciate his family and their sharing of Johnny and his life with the West Texas cotton industry, and we just appreciate all of the things that he did for the industry.
You know, Mark, for those who never knew Johnny, Johnny worked for him. Johnny worked for the cotton industry. And I think it's a great way to wrap up our conversation, because not everybody knows what goes on at Plains Cotton Growers, but yet you work for the entire industry, and not just for the cotton industry, but for farmers and ranchers. How can we learn more about what PCG does?
Yes, sir. Well, a good way to do that would be to find us on the World Wide Web, and you can go to our website at plainscotton.org. And on that website, we think that you'll find some really valuable information, not just about us, but also the West Texas cotton industry as well. And if you're a person who follows social media, we've got several different platforms that are available that you can follow us on. We have a weekly newsletter, and we'd be glad for people who are involved with those member gens, which is the vast majority of the gens here on the High Plains, to enroll so that you automatically get that newsletter, either by email, as most folks receive it today, or if you prefer, you can still receive a hard copy of that newsletter that comes out on Fridays and hopefully keeps you in touch with the latest happenings in the industry, not just in West Texas, but on a national and also on a worldwide level. And so, once again, that's plainscotton.org.
Mark Brown is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers on today's Agribusiness Report.
At Livingston Machinery, we say tillage matters. The Sunflower 6631 Series Vertical Tillage Tools feature famous sunflower durability, efficiency, and innovative engineering. Plus, the 6631 features the Stay Sharp serrated blades that will cut through the tough crop residue with ease and penetrate hard soils. Tillage matters, so make the right choice for you. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
It's the Agribusiness Report. You can keep up with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org, plainscotton.org.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton, bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The meat and poultry processing industry is a unique business with its own language, its own set of risks. Many bankers and other lenders may not be familiar enough with that business to want to loan money for meat and poultry processing projects. So to help fix that problem, the USDA has come up with
the new Credit Ready Meat and Poultry Lending Initiative.
Credit Ready. Dr. Karama Neal runs USDA's Rural Business Cooperative Services. She told us,
we are collaborating at USDA with the University of New Hampshire to provide training and peer support to lenders so that they are better able to effectively deploy the capital and support businesses that are engaged in processing. And so through this, we want to strengthen capacity of lenders that are already involved in this sector, in the meat and poultry financing sector, and then ideally also attract new lenders to this sector.
Dr. Neal says the Credit Ready program will hopefully make it a bit easier for small meat and poultry processing businesses to obtain needed credit for startup or expansion. Gary Crawford, Washington.